last name. I love to hear Keith Reed. Reed. Oh, that's just, is that a pun on my name? Okay. As Pastor said, let us get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 15 together. When you're all there, let me know. Say, let the church say amen. All right. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called. Samuel said, and got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said, "Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am here to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At the time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about." And the judge said, and the father said he would judge his family. "His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for sacrifice or by offering." Samuel lay down until the morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli of the vision.
Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor for this morning. Thank you for your word that has come to us. We yield to you and we surrender to you. Lord, have mercy on us. In any way we have not been attentive to you, we pray your forgiveness. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that by your Spirit, you shall teach us today. You shall speak to us today. You shall take absolute authority of everything we do here. And Lord Jesus, I ask personally that you shall give me clarity in communication, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for equipping us and preparing us for the journey that is ahead. We praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, as you can see in this passage here, the Lord God decided to visit Samuel. If you're looking at the title of your Bible, you might see something like, "God speaks to Samuel." Other translations put that Samuel receives a prophetic calling. And however you want to put it, I have chosen to title this, "Speak for thy servant heareth." Speak for thy servant heareth. You see, we are in the period where it is time for you and I to hear from God. It is not the time, while it is good to eat and to marry and to enjoy family and to do all the things we are doing in this Christmas period, to remember to hear from God. Because in times like this, it is easy to forget about the God that we serve. It is easy to forget that we are not the masters of our life, but there is a master who is in charge of our life. It is easy to forget that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is easy to forget that we are remembering his birth. And so in this Christmas spirit, in all that you do for the spirit of Christmas, remember that you are a servant. Remember that you are a servant. And this passage tells us right from the verse 1. I like the way the writer puts it. Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Samuel was a young boy that was born by miracle, by grace. His mother wept before God earnestly for a child, and God favored his mother and gave Samuel. When his mother went to God to weep, his mother said to God, "If you give me this young boy, if you give me a child, I will commit this child to serving you. I'll give this child fully to you." And so when you study the whole book of Samuel, right from when the child was born, his mother took care of him, weaned him from breastfeeding and everything, and took him to church, and he left him there in the tabernacle. And so Samuel grew up in the house of God, serving God. And so when the writer says, then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord, that is what it meant. The boy's whole life as he was growing was in the house of God. To minister is really to serve God, to take care of the responsibilities of managing the house of God. So like when you come here, as you are seated here, you can see the whole floor looks very nice. All the sound systems are in their nice places. Dust is not in the place. And you see all the lights working. The fans are working at the right temperature. The heat is working at the right temperature. We have people who devoted themselves to doing all this. And Samuel would have been in the house of God doing things like this, managing and taking care of the house of God before Eli. Eli was the priest of the church. Him and his sons were the priest of the church, of the tabernacle, then I would put it as it is in the word of God. And he really, really was old, very old, and had been very disobedient to God in terms of him and his children were supposed to be kind of like the light in the whole time of Israel. But his children were being very disobedient to God, abusing their position as the children of God. If you can go back and study the whole book. And in that time, God had kept quiet because the man of God who was supposed to hear from God and minister to God's people wasn't living rightly by disciplining his children. As you can see at the end of this passage, God touches on all these. We will look at this into further notice. But we see here, Samuel is serving God. Samuel is growing up in the house of God, being nurtured into the minister that he's supposed to be. And the word of God says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of God was rare in those days. And when the word of God even came, Eli received a judgment. And we live in days similar to the times of this period, where leaders were not committed to hearing the word of God anymore or being honest to the word of God anymore. The people of Israel were doing their own thing, and the leaders who were supposed to also point them to God were also doing their own thing. And so the word of God was rare. When the word rare means it was lacking. God's word was not being heard anymore. God wasn't speaking anymore. And we live in a generation this day where it is similar to what was going on. We live in a world where people don't want to hear the word of God. People are doing their own thing. Entertainment has been lifted above everything else. Sports has been lifted above everything else. A lot of people prefer that the servants of God will be shut up, will be quiet. By God's grace, we were blessed to be part of what God is doing in Kearney, and we went to the tree lighting. And could you believe that a whole town tree lighting minister wasn't even called to pray? It was Santa that switched the light for the town. In Kearney, children of God, you see why it is important that we pray. Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are churches in this community, and the leaders of the gospel are not the ones taking leadership in doing things like this. We live in a town, we live in a society, we live in a region, we live in a time where it would be easy if left to people alone. The word of God would not ever even be heard. And I tell you, because of this, even the Christians, the leaders, the so-called me and you, who are supposed to be the ones holding the light and preaching the gospel and putting the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ out there, we are also mute, quiet about this. And so the ungodly can do their thing, and the godly are also doing the thing with them. Child of God, in this society, in this world that we live in these times that we are in, it is very rare to hear God's word. The child of God must make an extra effort to hear God's word. The child of God must remember that God must speak. Because God was offended, He was quiet in those times. And if we are not careful, we can think we are USA. We are the world's most powerful nation. I was watching the impeachment trial on TV. And how they used to talk, the leaders of USA talk about the power and the authority that USA is, and how strong USA is in the world, and the agenda of USA in the rest of the world. It is good. USA is a very powerful nation. If we are not careful, we might be running on this so-called powerful nation, which has lost its connection with the God of all power and authority. Inasmuch as Israel thought they were in charge, they were not, because they were not connected to their source. Child of God, you and I must remember that it is easy. Most of us these days, we have the devotional book here. Most of us don't get up and to think of praying first and thanking God for our lives. And that was what was happening there. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. And so you come to verse 2 and 4. Verse 2 through 3, through to 4. God's first word to Samuel. And the writer says, "And it came to pass at the time, while Eli was lying down in the place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of the God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.'" We thank God. You see, We were in a world of turmoil, a world without hope, and Jesus was born. Which is why we are in this Christmas period, remembering that Jesus came and has come. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome mercy and favor. What an awesome blessing. What an awesome kindness. What an awesome rejuvenation. What an awesome awakening. When you see what is written here, God was offended, but the offense did not go on forever. Jesus had to come. God spoke out to Samuel. Look, these people had forgotten about who God was, but he was still their savior. He was still their Lord. He called Moses and he said, I have heard the cry of my people. Go and rescue them from Egypt. And this God had brought them to a resting place. And they had forgotten about this God doing their own thing. And for so many years, God had been offended. But God does not hold offenses forever. USA may have forgotten about God. You may personally have forgotten about God. Your relationship does not include God. But God has not given up on you. He has not forsaken you. He has not given up, my brothers and my sisters. Jesus has come. Jesus has come to make a way. The Lord spoke out to Samuel. The Lord was looking for somebody, preparing somebody that he would speak to. And today, by God's grace, you are seated here, hearing his voice. He's reaching out to you and I. We cannot be comfortable in our death. Or in our deafness. Or in our blindness. When I studied this passage, I sat down and I said, wow. Eli is blind. You know, this thing has both physical and spiritual connotation. Physically, Eli was an older man. His time was near and he was blind. But spiritually, the man was blind too. He should have been the one telling Samuel that the Lord will come and visit you. He should have been the one hearing and knowing that God was coming to speak. As a matter of fact, if he was available, God would not have used Samuel. Spiritually blind. Child of God. We live in the days where you are a father of your house. You are a mother of your house. You are the youth of your house. You are the young adult of your house. God is willing to reach into you. God is willing to use you. He's willing to speak to you. He's willing to speak to me. His eyes. When God called on Samuel, Eli's eyes were dim. You know, you can be the so-called father of your house and you might not be in charge of your house. The place of the man in the house is to be the leader of his home. You can be the leader of your home physically and spiritually. You are not in charge of the house. And Jesus stated this when he was talking in the Bible that Will one go to another man's house and try to take over the house except by binding the man before he can have authority in the house? Many of us are walking around looking good. I like the way I look. I always use myself. I like to dress good. I like to look good, smell nice. I can be this nice so-called young pastor that you see. Oh, my pastor is handsome. I like the way he dresses her. And I may not be the head of this house. Tanambuniata, listen. Child of God, listen. It's not by looks. Many of us, there's been people who are walking on the street several times. Hey, when we lived in New York, I used to weep before God.
dressed up, all looking nice, and a demon is holding them by the neck with a chain, pulling them. They don't see. If you don't have the spiritual eyes, you don't see these things. Many are being led to hell, and the church, you and I, we are comfortable in it. And some of us too, when the Lord wants to, he opens my eyes and I see the things holding you bound. And so we are walking around claiming this physical authority, but spiritually we are not. We are in Kearney, West Hudson Christian Center, but spiritually we are not in charge of this town. The Lord Jesus is supposed to be ruling affairs in this town, and you and I are comfortable. Friday nights, none of us wants to come out and pray. In your own home, you are not praying. In your own decision makings, the Lord is not in charge. But we are looking forward to 2020 coming. I bet you some of you might have already decided what you're going to do in 2020 already. Did God tell you to do that? So Samuel is lying down. Josephus, who is an expert in Old Testament material, says that Samuel was probably around the age of 12 years of age. And so Samuel is lying down, and the voice comes to him. Samuel. And he said, "Here I am." This leads us to believe God spoke to Samuel in an audible voice. It wasn't the inner call of, because he said he heard, and so it could have been in an audible voice instead of an inner thought. But Samuel was so impressed by what he heard, he responded by saying, "Here I am." I like this song. "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God." I love it when I see Christians singing this song. When I see you and I love when I wave my hand. I love to be caught up in this. And I keep asking myself, how many times have I really said to the Lord, "Here I am"? You see, the response that Samuel gave is a good response. Many great men in the Bible have said, "Here I am," to God. Abraham said this in Genesis 22 verse 1 when God spoke to him and called him. Jacob said this in Genesis 26 verse 2. Moses said this in Exodus 3 verse 4. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 6 verse 8. And Ananias said this in Acts 9 10. These are all great men that God used mightily, that all said, "Here I am." You see, the child of God today must be in a posture, must be in a position to say, "Here I am. Lord God, I am here for you. I am all yours." And maybe today you are here and that "I am" is not on your agenda or your radar, or not how you think or reflect on your relationship with God. "Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am." It was a very good response that Samuel had. At the age of 12 years, he heard the voice, and the first thing that he says is, "Here I am." You and I must have that nature about ourselves. But the writer goes ahead in the in verse 5 to 9, Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice. He ran to Eli. Eli is all he knows. As a young boy around the age of 12 years, Eli is whom he looks up to. As a guide, he was there serving God before Eli. He was doing everything for Eli. Eli was an older priest. Eli was also blind. So you can imagine when he heard the voice, he took it that it was Eli calling him. Some ways it is the right thing. In other ways of looking at it, it wasn't the right. You see, this young boy had grown up in the house of God, in the tabernacle, but yet still did not know. The writer says he did not know yet the voice of the Lord. This is where everything changes in my passage. Everything changes here. Many of us may have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, but yet still we do not know when he speaks or when he is speaking. Father, mother, this tells us that even though you may have raised up your kid in the house of God, there is an effort, there is more work you need to do in teaching your children to accept the Lord Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior and come into an intimate relationship with this Jesus personally. Even you seated here, I standing here, must know the voice of the Lord. If we can hear it, we can teach others how to. You see, another mentoring ability here is this. Eli might have been a man of God that wasn't living according to God's word, but he knew God. Many of us, see, that is the danger. If we are not careful, because we have related with this God so long, and we know his voice, we know certain things to do, we know this God, we've known him personally. Today, we might not be on the same level of relation with him, but we might think, and that's the deceit. The deceit there is, you might think you are okay, but yes, still you are not. He knew. And so, this is the thing. The young man comes to him three times. So, two times. Then the third time he comes again. That was when he realized that God was trying to reach the young man. I keep thinking to myself, why didn't he get it the first time? Why didn't he get it the second time? Until the third time. The man's connection was really weak by then. You and I must work on our relationship and be very alert to even the whisper. When God breathes, we should know God is breathing. God shouldn't even have to speak before he even thinks to speak. You catch it in the spirit. Oh my God. And so Eli said, young boys here, children here, youth here, you need to understand this. You need to get this. God will speak to you regardless. You may look up to your father. You may look up to your mother. But God is calling to you. This morning, as you seated here, God is calling to you. God is saying he wants to relate with you personally. He wants to know you intimately. And you need to make an effort to know him personally. Wherever you are lacking, you can begin to go to a godly person. Look at your parents and you see them as an example. See them as an example. And if they are not leading you well, ask their permission. Daddy, I would like to know more about God, but I feel like I don't know here. Is it possible that I speak to this person or that person? Always look for an opportunity to be nurtured and be mentored in the things of God. I always say this. I am blessed to have had such great men and women in my life to mentor and nurture me. Fathers, you need to work hard. Mothers, you need to work hard at winning your children for Christ. The fact that they are growing under your care and you are praying and they see you praying, doesn't mean they notice. And you see, that has been the mistake of the church today. Many did not work on winning their children for the Lord Jesus. So they grew up in the church, and where did they end up? On the streets, doing foolish things. Doing things which are not in line with the word of God. I know so many people who say, oh, I grew up in the church. What are you doing now? There are some great musicians in our generation now that had a relationship in the church, but today they are singing for Satan. Using their voice to glorify Satan. And what happened? They knew the church. They grew up in the church. We must work harder. We must rely on all the possible avenues that God will give us wisdom to raise our children in the fear and the love of God. We must teach them. And so Samuel says to him, Eli says to Samuel, speak. When you go, go back, lie down. And he said, speak. When you hear him call out, say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Other translations say, speak, for your servant heareth. Eli counseled Samuel. Eli told Samuel, I want to touch on four major things that Eli did here. Make yourself available for God to speak. The first thing is this. He said, go lie down. You and I must make ourselves available. We must begin to learn how to wait at God's feet. Secondly, he said, not be presumptuous about God speaking. He said, if he calls you, your plans that you are making, is it really coming from God? Do you know Satan can also call you? Satan can give you an agenda. Satan can give you a next year's this thing. What's it called? Resolution. But you need to wait at the Lord's feet. You need to hear clearly from God. And the third thing is this. Speak, Lord. He said, speak, Lord. Respond to the word of God. If it is not in the Bible, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it next year. If it is not in the Bible, sorry. If it does not push the agenda of the kingdom of God anywhere, I'm sorry. I can't be involved in this idea. In this New Year resolution, in this preparation, if it is not. And the last thing is this, humble. He says, your servant heareth. Humble yourself before God and his word. Many of us are not humble. And because of that, we can't hear from God. God cannot speak to us. God will not speak to a hardened heart. God will not speak to a generation that does not want to know him. God will not waste his resources on you and I if we are not humble. As a matter of fact, his word says that he will oppose you and I if we are not humble, if we are not submissive to him. He will oppose us himself. Speak. We must hear from God. The preachers say, speak. The preachers speak. The teachers teach. Our parents may speak. Our friends may speak. Our teachers may speak. Those of the radio or television may speak. That is all fine. But the voice means nothing for eternity unless God speaks through them. I'm standing here speaking. All that I do it uselessly if God is not speaking through me. You, father, you, mother, teacher at school, if God is not speaking through you, all you do is useless. Your resolution is useless if God is not leading the agenda. Begin to prepare yourself and begin to make yourself available. And when you look at the final part of this, God told Samuel was that he was bringing judgment to Eli. Please, you can go and spend more time studying on this subject, but if you and I do not begin to do some changes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus, the message that was given to Eli is equally what is going to happen to you and I. Judgment is going to come to us, and the judgment will not be a good judgment. You see, God is constantly, every day, every minute, every hour, judging you and I. The judgment is not waiting till you get to heaven. If your ways are not pleasing unto God, you are living an unrighteous life. And every unrighteous life does not honor our God. For God is righteous. God is holy. And he's calling us into a holy relationship. And so if your dealings, if your doings is not in a position where you are saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," all that you do is useless. All you do is useless. Child of God, you and I must begin to reflect on our life. Begin to prepare and begin to make yourself available for God to use you. You see, he's done everything he would do. We are in the Christmas period. Jesus came to die just so that you and I can begin this intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made a way for you and I. He's reached out his hands first. When you and I weren't even yet born, Jesus came. And so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can begin a perfect 2020 by making yourself availed now. Begin to pray. Begin to seek him. Begin to humble yourself. Begin to say, "Lord, lead my agenda for next year." Husband and wife, go home and begin to weep and cry and call on this God. Leader here, begin to call on God. Your ministry ideas and your agendas, begin to weep and call on God. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him in the name of our Lord Jesus. And he says, "Call on me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things you do not know of." May God bless you, brothers and sisters. May God favor you, brothers and sisters. As you give yourself to hearing from him, as you wait at his feet, may you receive an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. May he begin to shape you. May he begin to lead you. May he begin to strengthen you and anoint you to break away from the things you could not break away this year. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the power of the Lord Almighty come upon you afresh and equip you and strengthen you that you may be able to live for him the year coming. May his favor be with you. May his peace be with you. May his joy be with you. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus, may any chain that is holding you bound be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that you shall bless West Hudson Christian Center. You shall favor us. And Lord, I pray you shall begin to download your agendas, your purpose, your vision for the next year ahead, oh Lord. Lord Jesus, we bless you.